Okay, we're back into our conversation with God's Word in chapter 10. When we finish chapter 9 of Proverbs kind of finished one phase of the way God's Word is explained to us, and that it gave us examples and cases of the most important one was, of course, the evil woman, and then what we should do. But in starting in chapter 10, it's almost as if God wants us to understand and learn His mindset. He's going to tell us all the things He approves of and those things He does not approve of, those blessings that He will give us if we do these things, the fate of us who fail to do that and we continue to sin. And He does them, He will take an instance being lazy, and He'll put it to us in so many different ways. There's no way we're going to end up in Proverbs and not understand that God does not like or want lazy people, and we should not be lazy people. And that was just one example, but if we pay attention to these as we go through, it's just a matter of comprehending what He's saying, comparing them to other verses that He's going to have to support that, and to try to put these into your own words. That's how you're going to put them into your memory bank, is to take His words, understand what He's trying to get across to you, and then put them into your own words so that they'll go into our memory bank, and then our mindset will become like God's mindset. I have here that we finished on verse 20 in chapter 10, so we're going to pick up on verse 21 and continue. And when I read these to you, I will have a comment to say about it, but you comprehend what God is trying to get across and tell me how you can rephrase that or represent that will become more understandable to maybe some of the others. There is wisdom in this class, and so we must let that not only sink in, but we also must share wisdom. So let's start off in verse 21, and we'll see how we go. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom." My comprehension of that, the way I would put that into my memory bank, is that our lips, or lips from the righteous people, can give food that will last or give eternal life. We can explain to them God's plan and God's glory and God's mercy and God's grace. And so we can feed many people. But fools... In other words, fools, people who do not do that because they don't have wisdom, are going to die. I mean, their life is over. At the end of this life, it's all over, Rover. You know, it's all over. Verse 22, "The blessings of the Lord make one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." All we got to do is sit down and count our blessings. And we could have financial blessings, but we can also have the blessing of a good life, you know, a good family, good friends. The Lord is taking care of us. All we got to do is look around. Everybody's dressed good this morning. We got good clothes. So the blessings, if we have God's blessings, He's going to take care of us, and He won't add any sorrow to it. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have sorrow in our life. Solomon, remember, had all these blessings, plus. But look at the sorrow he brought on his own life toward the end. God didn't do that to him. He added that sorrow to himself. God blessed him. God gave him riches, fame, fortune. wisdom, but then he, on his own, had the sorrow that he, when he went away from God's word and brought it on his own life. So you can't take God's blessing and turn them into sorrow for yourself if you don't use them wisely. 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool. You know, the sinners think their sin is fun. You know, they entice you to go, look at the fun I'm having doing all this crazy sinful stuff. But a man of understanding has wisdom. He won't think that way. Man, what we say the best word for understanding is in Proverbs is what? Common sense. Common sense. A man of common sense, he'll have wisdom. 24. The fear of the wicked will come upon them. The fear, man. That's we all have our fears and reluctance of what's going to happen to us. It says, and this is almost like a promise, the fear of the wicked will come upon themselves. They will turn on him. And the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. There are going to be whirlwinds in our life. There are going to be turmoils that come through our life. There are going to become trials in our life. God tests us. And he lets us to experience some of these things. This is apparently lost, this concept, the way this country is going. We just seem to be in a turmoil. God gave us a great country, great resources. It was founded upon his word. It was founded upon his principles. And we've let it kind of slip away from us. But when it does, the wicked will be no more. I've got on here Proverbs 14:34. Let me read that verse, 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If we could overcome sin, we could overcome this world that we live in and not let this overturn our nation. Actually, for 10 righteous people, Sodom and Gomorrah wouldn't have been destroyed. For 10 righteous people. And God might put that number on this country here if we don't change our ways. 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy man. Again, every now and then God comes back with some of his other teachings and reminds you what he considers a lazy man to be. A lazy man is to those who send him. There's no worse messenger than sending a lazy man if you want that message delivered. That's basically what it's saying here. It's just as bad as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, a bad choice. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. It's another one of his promises from the very beginning. That wisdom will add days to your life. The fear of the Lord will prolong your days. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. Give me an example of how the years of the wicked will be shortened.
Bad choices. They're going to end up hurting themselves or getting hurt just by making bad choices.
How about a drunkard running up down the road at 65 mile an hour, going the wrong way when he shouldn't be doing? Man getting in fight in bars. Being in a place he shouldn't be, and somebody pulls a knife on him. We can name instance after instance where this gets you in trouble, and it'll shorten your life if you keep doing it. It'll shorten your life. But God says the fear of him will prolong our days. We'll keep ourselves out of trouble. We won't go places we shouldn't be. And we'll obey the laws of the land. 28. The hope of the righteous will be gladness. Full expectations of heaven we got. That's our hope. Full expectations. But the expectations of the wicked will perish. They'll vanish like smoke. They think of one thing, but they keep on sinning, and they're all the things they were trying to achieve is gone like a whiff of smoke. Wisdom in here can speak up anytime you guys want to reword these things to go into your memory bank, because they're going to be a lot of this is going to be re-said in different ways. 29. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity.
Mine has the way of the Lord as a refuge for the blameless, but it is the ruin of those who do the evil.
That's good. That's another way of putting that, yeah. I just come up and said, no way the wicked is going to win in God's world. You just ain't going to. If you're a wicked person, you aren't going to end up winning. Your destination is going to be foul. 30. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Second Peter 3:13. Someone turn to that. I think that verse touches on this pretty good. Second Peter 3:13. And read that when you got it. Who's got it? Second Peter 3:13.
But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness.
We'll never be removed. We'll never be removed. But the wicked will not inherit the earth. 31 and 32, these two verses are going to basically touch on the same subject, and it's just God's way of putting them in two different ways so that we can comprehend them. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Believe it or not, in the older days, they would cut your tongue off. That was an actual punishment. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Good people say wise things. Good people, they'll think, they'll ponder, and they'll say wise things. Any thoughts or comments to the end of chapter 10? And I'm repeating myself, but I encourage you, when you read these things, reword them in your mindset in a way that they will sink in. Think about, ponder what God just said to you, and just say, well, I'll remember that better if I remember it this way. I'll be able to recall it better. By the time we get through the end of the book, by the way, we're about one-third of the way through at this point. By the time we get through with all this knowledge that God has put out here for us to read, He promises you it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. All right, we're going to start off with chapter 12. 11. I'm not going to skip it now. Can't do that. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Back in those days, they didn't have digital scales. That you just put it on there and it just told you what the weight was. Back in those days, they had stones. And an unscrupulous person could have a different weight stone than you. It'd be so close, you wouldn't know it. And when he went to buy something from you, he would put that little lightweight stone on there, and when you're trying to balance it, you say, yeah, you got a pound of this, and you might have a pound and a half of it. But he went to sell it, instead of selling it with this small stone, he slipped a big stone on there. But basically, we aren't faced with that today, but basically anything we do, sleight of hand. Sleight of hand. We can try to figure something real quick before somebody and brush it on off and get some extra out of him. It's just general ways that we can come with to really steal when we shouldn't be in it. Yeah, Brian.
Always say integrity is the person who does the right thing when nobody's looking. But as Christians, we know there's always somebody watching. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just last week, a week before last, I think I saw it on TV. It was one of the dollar stores had said they reduced their price on something, put a reduced price on there. And if you went in there and you bought this thing with some other things, when they rung it up at the regular price. And it went on for some time, and it was deliberate. And I don't remember, you got Dollar General, you got Dollar Store, you got Tree. I don't know which one it was, but I know that they did catch them, and it was deliberate what they did. So evidently the little cashier who was sitting there was just told, ringing on through. And if you're caught, then of course you have to fix it. But if you weren't caught, you'd never say anything about it.
How many times we go through and I never really check the receipt and I'm home with it. I'm like, oh man, if I'd have just stopped and looked right then. But the first thing that came to my mind when we read that was what I always told my kids, cheaters never prosper.
It's amazing how all the stores have come up with the self-checkout counters, You can go through there and ring yourself up. And if you go through the line where they check you again and they catch you, say, well, you didn't train me long enough. You didn't train me to be a cashier. No wonder I missed it. But I always check my receipts. I mean, not then, but I'll always check and see if they do that, because machines make mistakes too, and people definitely make mistakes. But what God is saying here is that don't be dishonest with anybody in the way you deal with them. Yeah, Chuck.
Lies in your work. If you're paid 8 hours to work, that's what you need to do. You need to get 8 hours worth of work. If you go through the checkout and then you realize when you got home, and it happened to us a couple of times, we didn't ring this up. We need to go back. because we know that's the right thing to do, and it was just an honest mistake. So we went back and tried to make it right, and again, we do it because it's the right thing.
It's the right thing to do.
But again, it was also, too, what happened in doing the right thing, it was an example for the cashier, because the cashier said, nobody's ever done that. I said, we must, because we know that God is with us, so we want to make it right.
That will happen to you more than one time, because it happens to everybody. When you find out later on that this was missed or something, but that principle will be there forever. If you get God's mindset on that, then it won't let you say, oh, "Well, I got one over on me, Lord." Yeah. Okay. Number two. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs, I'm going to get with you just a minute. Proverbs, God thinks this word pride is so important to you. At least five more times, he's going to touch on that subject as we go through. And if we'll always remember, it was the sin of pride that got Satan. The sin of pride is what was the downfall of Satan. Okay, go ahead.
Shouldn't you be proud of like your children? Shouldn't you be proud of your husband?
That's a different pride. That's being proud of being pleased with your children, pleased with your husband. This kind of pride is where you think you're a level above. You look down upon people.
We have that example where two people went to pray.
Right.
Remember that? One person was saying, "Dear Lord, I'm so glad I am not like this man."
Pharisee and the tax collector.
And then the tax collector, knowing his sin, didn't even look up. Mm-hmm.
If you do a good job, if you make something and you're pleased with it, you can be proud of that accomplishment. But it's not overbearing to where you put your pride above somebody else's, your prideness above anybody else. Yeah.
Pride, when you have two people have pride, that divides family. One of them is humble, it has been fences in men's relationships. That's the two differences between them. Because somebody with deep pride, even if they're right or wrong, the pride won't let them admit that they're wrong.
Right.
And when you're humble, you admit that you're wrong of your mistakes, and you're able to mend relationships with other people, fix relationships.
That kind of pride will not let you be humble.
Right.
That kind of pride wants you to. I didn't make a mistake. Oh, I don't ever make a mistake. Yeah, Wes.
I've seen in experiences, and I'm sure other people have seen also, not to say that we as a church of Christ place ourselves above Baptists or Methodists or Episcopalian or anybody like that, but I've seen in other type of religions where people have been placed on sort of like a pedestal, and then their membership does that, place their leader in a position where they think that he can do no wrong, more or less. And then, for one thing, they stop looking at the Bible and start just listening to what they say and following behind what they say. because they may do good work. They may feed the needy. They may go out and visit the sick. They may do a bunch of good deeds. But if their heart is not in the right place, they're still an abomination to God. But people follow them because of what they see they do. And they think that they can do no wrong. And those people walk around, like I think this says, and apply for statement. But you can't call them on what they do because they don't, they would never admit to the fact that they are like that. They don't even try to carry themselves as humble people. They just accept all of the accolades, all of the praise, all of the, you know, whatever. And they just keep feeding on it, you know. And I think that's terrible because in a lot of cases, it causes the whole congregation to fall. You know, they fall in the wrong path, but they don't realize. They just keep on falling behind this person. And even if the person does something that's seen in the public eye as doing wrong, they still don't, they don't accept it. Oh, no, no, he would never do that. No, yeah. No.
Well, he didn't mean it that way. He didn't mean it that way. But that the word prize, and I'm just going to take one of these because we'll be fishing through because it's going to be mentioned quite a bit. In Proverbs 13:10, it says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well advised is wisdom." And God's going to repeat that word over and over again before we get through, which tells us what? Don't be proud in that sense. You know, don't let that exalt you above your what you stand. Be humble in all situations. Be a servant in all situations. Okay. Integrity of the upright will guide them, will lead you to do good things, be in good things. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Integrity, that's a great characteristic for all of us to have, that people can depend on what you say. You're a man of your word. You don't have to swear to anybody on that. You just, when you speak, you say what you mean to say, and you mean what you say, what you do say. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, in that day of recognizing. It's not going to carry with you. It's not going to be in your billfold, it's not going to be in the bank, it doesn't matter. Not matter. Profit you nothing, but righteousness. Being a righteous person, a man of God, will deliver us from death, will save us in the end. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. Again, these two verses go together. 5 and 6 are basically saying the same thing, but he's putting it in a different aspect. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. If you're not faithful to God, you're going to pay the price. You will be caught by your greed. Number 7, when the wicked man dies, his expectation will perish with him. All of his hope is gone, and the hope of the unjust perishes. When he dies, it dies. When he's gone, he's all gone. As Robert said, he's dead all over. The righteous is delivered from trouble. A man of integrity is delivered from trouble. And it comes to the wicked instead. We have an example of where this has happened in the Old Testament. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and that trouble, comes to someone else instead. Remember Daniel? Remember his accusers? What happened? They had Daniel thrown into the fire. And look what happened to his accusers.
How about that dude in Esther?
Huh?
The to have the Jew hung, and instead he was the one that was hung.
God damn. There's a story of Mordecai back in there somewhere too that, that I don't remember it either. Here's one that we can all relate to. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Through godly information the righteous will be delivered.
Wasn't that kind of like what some governments want you to do, snitch on your neighbor? Whether it's true or not, and they don't care if they destroy you or not.
If you can believe half of the stuff that they're saying about the FBI now, where they're supposed to be protecting you and me from foreign enemies, evil people, and they're right in the middle of it, involved in the middle of it. Supposed to be preserving the basic principles of this country, and yet they're up there. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there's jubilation. Our cities are in the turmoil everywhere. Everywhere. Because the righteous people have been overtaken. And the wicked have taken over. It's hard to watch television anymore and see people clubbed on or pushed in front of trains on subways, and elderly women clubbed in the streets just for a pocketbook or something like that.
We have people in state houses in Congress that rejoice over killing babies. What's it come to? I mean, they stand up and give themselves standing ovations for passing those laws.
I believe right now, if Jesus Christ was to come, one of those mobs that's out there yelling for the killing of babies, which is the same thing that they call abortion, that they would holler, "Hang him," when he opposed it. They would say, "Crucify him." This world hadn't changed that much. At least the sin in this world hasn't changed that much. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, is made great. If it's run by great people, Christian people, godly, with godly principles, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked, it's brought down. It's a city you don't feel safe in anymore. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. Goes back. Reflects back to a different way of putting verse 9. If you just look back a bit at verse 9, the hypocrite of his mouth destroys his neighbor. He says, he that is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor.
Ivan says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense.
that's another way of putting it. It sure is. But a man of understanding holds his peace. This man listens. He uses common sense. He, remember the word understanding here means common sense. And then another word for the devoid would be the simple, by the way. Those that we read about that are simple. Not simple in affliction, but simple in that they just don't want to face the truth or change their way of life. 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is faithful, spirit conceals the matter. Uh, When we said talebearer, we're talking about a talker. We're talking about a gossiper. But if you're faithful, then you hold your tongue, and you certainly won't carry it around. This is one who carries a gossip forward, by the way. When someone tells you something, until you realize what they're trying to tell you, you've heard gossip. But it's even the greater sin if you pass it on. Yeah.
That affects again back to the last verse in chapter 10, number 32.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing.
Uh-huh. Just a different way of putting it. Just a different way of putting it. Where there is no counsel, people fall. What kind of counsel are we talking about? This godly counsel. Where is the basis for godly counsel? Right here. Where there is no counsel, people will fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. When you say multitude of counselors, you're talking about people with godly wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom out there. There's worldly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. And you're encouraged to get counsel on all decisions that you're going to make, if it's possible. Number 15, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer. Again, this is another repetition that God is, and he's going to do this over and over again, by the way, being surety, co-signing, stuff like that. One who hates being surety is secure. Do not co-sign. Do not co-sign.
That's for a stranger, right?
But in some of the other verses we've read, it says for nobody. This happens to say a stranger here. But some of the other, and we're going. I guarantee you, when you get through Proverbs, you'll know all about this subject, and you will all know all about how you should raise your kids. Those two principles, where the world has got them so messed up now, we're almost afraid to discipline our kids. Afraid to. But you'll understand how God wants you to discipline your kids and raise them. All right, we're through for today. I'm going to stop it right there because we got to get ready for our lesson. So we're going to pick it up here with a gracious woman retains honor. We're going to pick it up right there next time.